Welcome to the Well Community Church podcast. For more information on us and our mission to help people connect to God and to each other in every neighborhood, check us out at thewellcommunity.org or on our app, The Well Presence.
Well, good morning. If I have not met you, my name is Dave Obwald, and welcome to our summer teaching series. And so we paused, like Kevin said, we paused our series that we're in right now. We'll pick that up in the fall. And for this summer, we're going to be looking at invitation, these different ways that Jesus has invited us into things in the scriptures. And I am very excited to be here with you this morning. So normally, I've been on staff here for 18 years at The Well, but normally I don't hang out here teaching on a Sunday. I'm at our Monday night regeneration gathering or Thursday nights with our marriage world. But I love getting these chances to do this. And here's what you're going to get from me this morning, just so you know. I kind of teach like a counselor. And so I feel like if I could just have all of you in my office and we could have a whiteboard, we could talk about your relationship with Jesus and how all this intersects your life. That's what I hope it feels like this morning, is that we're just going to like sit down and talk about Jesus and his good news together. That's my goal for the morning. As we get started, we'll be in Matthew 11. So if you want to start turning there, that's where we're going to be for this invitation from Jesus. But as you're turning, let me tell you a quick story. When I have five kids, and when my oldest was 11, I decided to be a good dad. Wasn't the first time I decided to be a good dad, but like I decided to be a good dad in this moment. And I thought, you know what? I have heard that taking your kids backpacking is a cool thing to do. And so I'd never done it. And so I borrowed some packs from my buddy. We picked a spot up above Shaver Lake. And I'm like, we're going to go backpacking. And so as we packed our packs, I was like, my backpack should be a little bit heavier than Cole's backpack because he's only 11. So I stacked mine, I would say, a little heavier than his. But he probably had 25 pounds in his pack. Those of you who are backpackers, like, not a good idea. And so anyway, we got out onto the trail, having a great time. And it wasn't too long. We were about a quarter mile in. And Cole's like, Dad, my legs hurt a lot. I'm like, you'll be all right. You know, just keep going. And then maybe, you know, another 200 yards, he's like, I feel some things in my lungs that I've never felt before. And I'm like, oh, that's not good. And so we got a little bit farther and he's like, I can't walk and I can't breathe. I'm like, we should probably sit down. And so we sat down for a while. And in that moment, then I just, you know, I started shaming him. And so we could, no, just kidding. I didn't shame. But I said, hey, I don't think we're going to make it to where we're going if you keep carrying that pack. And I said, hey, would you want me to take your pack for the rest of the way? He's like, yes, please take my pack. So I had my backpack on the back, his backpack on my front, and we slowly made it to where we needed to go together. He matched my pace. We made it there together. And so really that picture is a lot of what Jesus is inviting us into in Matthew 11, is that we're carrying a pack in life that we were never meant to carry. And he's inviting us into a new way into that. So as you're getting there in Matthew 11, the whole series, I want to frame the whole series for you before we get into this specific invitation. The whole series is going to be around the idea of an invitation, and there's aspects of an invitation. So the invitation is going to be given to someone or to a group of people. That's an invitation. It's going to be an invitation to something. So with Cole, it was given to him. The invitation was to take his backpack. And then it is going to be given by someone. So I, in that instance, gave him the invitation. And then it's an invitation that he can either receive and accept, or he could have rejected it and been like, hey, I got it. I'm going to do this on my own. So all the summer invitations are going to have a similar format to them in the series. And the biggest aspect that we'd hope you take away from the whole summer is the most important aspect of all of that is the giver of the invitation. And so if we don't trust the giver of the invitation, we won't take it. Does that make sense? Like if Cole didn't trust that I could carry his backpack, he wouldn't have given his backpack to me if I couldn't take it. And throughout the summer, the inviter throughout the summer is going to be Jesus. And your picture of Jesus and who you believe him to be will determine whether you take any of these invitations or not. And so our hope and our prayer is that our view of Christ will grow. Our view of Jesus will grow, whether you're brand new to him or we've walked with him for years. And so that's the summer for us. As you get into this invitation, Matthew 11 is an invitation to a yoke. So if you want to write the main idea of what we're going to talk about, today's invitation is an invitation to a yoke that is designed around soul rest from the inside out rather than soul trying to find rest from the outside in. Does that make sense? So we're learning to get rest from the inside out rather than to try to grasp for it from the outside in. And the idea of a yoke is what's going to be introduced in Matthew 11. Let me explain what that means. Some of you are familiar with that, some of you are not. It's an agricultural term, a yoke, and it's a beam. It kind of has two different meanings. One of them is a beam between two animals, mostly oxen, and you put it around one of their neck and the other's neck, and they're meant to help them pull together a heavy load. So whether that be a plow, whether that be a cart, that's one metaphor of a yoke, and Jesus is going to use that. The other is, in that time, the idea of a yoke also represented the teaching of someone. So the Pharisees, the religious leaders, they had a yoke. That was, so if you follow them in their yoke, that was their way of being. Jesus was inviting a yoke, a different way of being, a different way of living. And so Jesus's assumption in this passage to all of the hearers isn't, do you have a yoke? It's, what is your yoke? And so either you're yoked to Christ or you're yoked to something. So even for us here today, the question isn't, do you have a yoke? It's, what are you yoked to? And so we get to evaluate our souls as we hear the words of Christ to that. Okay? So we're going to start in verse 25 is where we're going to start. The passage as a whole will be verse 25 through verse 30. So the first aspect of this is going to be, who is this invitation given to? So starting verse 25, it says, at this time, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you've hidden these things from the wise and understanding, and you've revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Father except, no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone whom the Son chooses to reveal. Come to me, all of you who are labor and are heavy laden. And again, so this is the invitation to people. So there's two groups we're told that this invitation is given to. It's given to the little children, not the wise and understanding. So what does that mean? Well, there was a group of people that were religious at the time, the Pharisees. That was this first group. And they were wise and understanding in their own eyes. And what that would mean, it put in simple terms, is that they used God to stay away from God. Does that make sense? Like they knew God mentally, but they didn't relationally know God. And so when Jesus showed up on the scene, they're like, hey, we've already got this figured out, this religious thing, and you actually don't fit that. I know who we are, I know who God is, I know how the world works, you don't fit that. And so when Jesus showed up, what they tried to do was ignore him at first, then they tried to change him, and then they tried to dismiss and tell people he was crazy, and then they ultimately said, let's kill him, let's get rid of him. And so oftentimes, even for us, here's the challenge for us, we can be wise and understanding as well. We can think we know just enough about God to hide from God. And like last week when Brad was talking about the familiarity often that those of us who've walked with Jesus for a while can have, the challenge for us, even in a passage like this, is to go, we're invited to be little children, beginners. And here's what that means, is that for this group, he's saying, hey, this isn't for the wise and understanding. You who think you have it all figured out, this isn't gonna work for you. I actually want to reveal myself to the kids who are open, to the ordinary people who go, I have needs. I actually have things. I'm sure I don't have a perfect alignment with God's thoughts about me and the world and everything else. I'm open to it. So they were hurting people, people doing life like you and I with kids and mortgages and going to school. And they're like, hey, will you stay open to what I have to say? So the challenge for us this morning is to stay open, to be like a beginner. It's impossible for you to know what you think you already understand. Does that make sense? Like even when it comes to reading the scriptures, it's impossible for us to hear from Jesus if we are thinking that we already know it. And so in that, the second part of that, right after verse 25, verse 26 and 27, there is this challenge to a people to say, hey, I am connected to the Father, is what Jesus says. The Father is connected to me, and I have to reveal this way of being to you because your thoughts as humans are not naturally aligned with my thoughts. And so you're gonna have to be open to recognizing that you need a shift in the way you see the world, the way you see God, the way you see yourself, and will you let me reveal that to you? And so again, as we have an openness as children, he says he will reveal to us. And so it's this combination of our responsibility to stay open to Christ and his sovereignty to reveal himself to us. It's the mixture of the two in verse 27. there. And then the next part, verse 28, this invitation was given to people who had heavy burdens. They were under like the stresses of life, and they were people who were being put upon by the yoke of the Pharisees. So it was like a dual fold thing, like people who had real burdens like us. And so let's look at that heavy yoke of the Pharisees, just so you understand it, because I think sometimes we can look at them and go, oh, the Pharisees, versus like, oh, we sometimes struggle in the same ways as them. Okay, so the Pharisees their yoke was an outside in, like I need to have things outside of me to make me right with God. I need things outside of me to make me look right in front of others. So they focused on righteousness through performance. So for them, they had the laws of God, and then they tacked on all this other stuff outside of this, these other laws outside of it, and said, hey, you gotta do this stuff and you gotta do all this stuff. And not just for themselves, but they put that heavy yoke on other people as well to earn righteousness with God. They consistently compared themselves to other people for their righteousness. And so they would wear certain things to look like more righteous in front of people. They would wash their hands, you know, to like, I'm holy in front of you. They would give in front of others to go, hey, here's how like godly I am in the way I give or serve or whatever that was. It was, again, the picture of the outside in creating righteousness. Here's what Jesus said about that way of being of the Pharisees. In Luke 11, 39, he said this. He said, now you Pharisees, you clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but inside of you, you are full of robbery and wickedness. So again, outside righteousness, trying to make the inside whole. Said in Matthew 23, 4, of the Pharisees in this way of being, they tie up heavy burdens. Think about that yoke again. They lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are unwilling to move them so much as a finger. And so what this way of being, this yoke, it's kind of like a pride and despair. And you may have recognized this in your own walk with God at times when we're under the unhealthy yoke, is that when we think we're doing it well, like I'm doing all the right stuff, we have like this pride of like nailed it. And then when we fail ourselves in our own man-made righteousness, then we're like in despair. It's like pride, despair, pride, despair. And then I got to compare myself to other people to say, to bolster myself up and go, well, I'm not as bad as that guy or that girl. And so like, oh, like God must love me. And God's like, Jesus is like, that's not an easy yoke. That is not the burden that I have for you in that. And so when Jesus in the New Testament says, this is what self-righteousness is, us trying to prove our rightness, us trying to earn it. It's self-salvation. Like I don't need a savior. I'm gonna be my own savior. And it's exhausting. And in that way of being, man, it's the heavy burden. It's the load. No matter what our walk is in life, no matter what we're going through, that is a heavy load on top of it. I wanna give you a few of the yokes that I've carried over the years, and maybe you can relate to them. Because I want you to think about it, not just the context of back then, but the context of now, of trying to live from the outside in and the exhaustion that creates in our soul. Okay, so if Jesus was talking to me over my life, here's some of the come to me's he might've had. Maybe you can relate. Okay, listen to him. Come to me, all of you feel like your performance on the field or in the classroom or at work defines your worth. Come to me, all of you who have a loud voice in your head saying that you'll never be good enough for God and others. Come to me, all of you who think you need to figure it out, whatever it is, and then God will fully love and accept you. Come to me, all of you who feel the need to hide your brokenness behind a polished image to make yourself acceptable to God and others. Come to me, all of you who are judging yourself next to others to feel good and be right, or to feel lousy and condemn yourself. Come to me, all of you who feel like just a little more money, just a different relationship, just the right job will finally take away your anxiety about the future. Come to me, all of you who feel like your spouse, your family member, or your friend changing will finally give you the love and acceptance that you've been longing for. Come to me, all of you who feel like holding on to your anger and resentments will finally punish the people who hurt you and protect your heart from being hurt again. Those are just mine. Anybody relate to any of those statements, right? Nod your heads, yeah. That's the human nature in us going, something out there is gonna create rightness in here and peace in here. And the contrast is, again, the payoff is the stuff out there, I can try to control that. I can try to control what I look like. I can try to control my behavior enough so I can be loved. I can try to do out here. And again, pride and despair. And what it creates is an exhaustion of the soul that leads to anxiety, stress, fear, never feeling like enough, relationships that are killed because I'm judging myself and then I'm judging you. And it's an eternal loop of behavior modification, never enough. It's an exhausting way of being. And then when we try to take from the outside, it's a taking stance in life to the inside. It often is a hotbed of addiction as well. So when I'm exhausted out here from trying to live that way, I gotta find a way to numb out, whether that's scrolling on media, whether that's finding Netflix, whether that's finding some external substance or something to look at on the internet, like finding a way to escape the burden of pride and despair. Does that make sense? And so in that, Jesus meets that group of people, us, and then he says, hey, those of you who are weary and heavy laden of trying to find life on the outside, he invites us into verse 28. So look down there with me. And this is what he calls the good news. This is the gospel. But it's three-faceted here. As we read these passages, he's gonna say three things and then say the result is the fourth thing. He's gonna say, come to me, this is the first part, for salvation. Take my yoke upon you. That's to the exchange he's inviting us into. And then learn from me. That's the idea of life with God, sanctification. And then you're gonna find rest is the result, a soul rest. Not a change of your life, but a different way of living even in the life you have. So verse 28, come to me, all of you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The first thing there he invites us into is to himself. He says, come to me, not to this yoke, not to that over there. Come to me, a relationship with me, the giver of rest, the giver of life. And this is when we talk about here at the well, that salvation is a point in time and over time. This is that point in time of like, come, take your backpack off. Cole, give it to me. He's looking at us and going, hey, don't, you can't earn it. There's not enough that you can do to earn salvation. There's not enough to do to earn your righteousness. And Jesus said, I paid for it. It is done. And will you receive it? That's the idea of the gospel. In Romans 2:8-9, Paul describes this and he says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not of yourselves. It's not you doing enough, you looking a certain way. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. This is the biblical idea of grace, unmerited favor, unearned righteousness given by Christ to us when he lived the life we could never live, died on the cross for us for our sins, past, present, and future, made a clearing for our lives that we might live in a whole new way of being where our past is wiped away, our future is secure, and that is the backpack that we get to hand to him. That is good news. And yet sometimes we want to take it back. You realize that too, right? And so then in that brand new starting point, this unmerited favor, there's no condemnation, Romans 8:1 says, for those of us who are in Christ. Like when the shame ideas come back, no, Christ is taking care of it. When the worries about the future come back, no, Christ is there in the future. He's paid for it all. On Monday nights in Regen, when we start people in the process, we have them fill out this survey. And we ask him a question. We say, hey, if you were to die tonight and you were standing before God and he would say, why should I let you into heaven? Like, what would you say and how secure on a scale of 1 to 100 do you feel like you'd be? And we have a lot of people who will write, I don't know, like 50% secure or 40% secure because I've done some good things, but I've also done some bad things. And like, but compared to some other people, I'm better than them. You see that? The outside in. And our hope is we're excited for that when we see that because we're like, oh, you're gonna get introduced to Jesus. Like you're gonna get introduced to the gospel that it's been done for you. It's not about you. It's not about us. And praise God, it's not about us, right? In that we get to receive the good news of Christ from grace, okay? The second part of that, take my yoke upon you. That's the idea of the with God life. That's the exchange of living in autonomy where I'm trying to muster up righteousness, I'm trying to muster up salvation, to living with God, with him, sharing the load. Okay, so go back to our analogy of the yoke. So what Jesus is saying, hey, you're yoked to other things, come be yoked to me. Like I'm the master ox, you're the junior ox, learning how to pull the weight of through life with rest, rather than trying to find rest. So the job of the master ox, three things. The master ox's job, being Jesus in this instance, is the master ox carries the majority of the weight. And also when the hard soil comes, he's the one breaking up the hard soil for the junior ox. Secondly, he sets the pace in our lives, establishes a steady, sustainable stride through life. Like he's the one who knows how to work in a way that's not burning us out. And then he's steering. So the master ox is listening to the farmer's voice, just like Jesus and the Father. And he's the one steering away from the dangers, away from the cliffs. He's going, listen to me, I'm the master ox, you're the junior ox. And then the job of the junior ox, which is us with Jesus, is this. We're to match the master. Hey, we don't have to worry about everything because our job is to stay close. Our job is to stay connected and match his stride, to walk with him. Second thing there for us is to learn his voice, right? We're listening to him, learning to listen as he steers us through life, through his word, through his spirit, through people that are also followers of Jesus, that we learn to steer and listen to him. And then third, we build endurance, that as we walk next to him, stay in step with the spirit is what Paul would call it. As we do that, we learn endurance. As we walk through trials with Jesus, he says he strengthens us, that our character grows, the way of being grows, that we might walk in new things next to the ox. Now, so our job in that is to be the junior ox. Now, do you realize a lot of times we try to be the master ox again? Do you recognize that? We try to take control again. We try to live in autonomy again. And he says, hey, jump back under the easy yoke. And then the third facet of that, he says, learn from me. This is the idea of that word learner there is the word disciple, familiar word. And I actually love, it's also translated apprentice. He says, apprentice to me. Does that make sense? Under the yoke, we apprentice to the master ox under the yoke. And as we apprentice to him, we're learning, as Eugene Peterson says, his translation of this in the Message Bible calls this learning the unforced rhythms of grace. Don't you love that? Like the unforced way of living, of walking with Jesus in grace. And so here's what it would look like practically. As we're living life yoked to Jesus, so the weight of our identity is now carried by Christ, by Jesus. So that as I walk and I'm learning to apprentice to him, when I walk into a new situation, my identity is no longer on the line. I'm not out there trying to go, do you like me, therefore I'm okay. No, no, no. Like I'm living from identity being secured in Christ. And therefore I can go out and do whatever I'm doing with my kids, with my work, in a new situation, and you're not the one answering the identity question anymore. No, the master ox has already answered that. And you are secure in Christ, you're a new creation, you are loved, you're a son and daughter, like your identity is secure, and then you get to go to school, to work, to a ball field, fixed in your identity. Does that make sense? And then you're not living for your identity, you're living from your identity. That is what it means to be yoked to Christ with your identity. The weight of your outcomes is now carried by Christ, meaning that I'm no longer stressed about the future or needing a relationship to look a certain way or a certain income to come in to be like, I'm okay and secure. Jesus is my security. And I get to live from that security and weather whatever comes with him. So a relationship seems like it's hard in the moment. I don't need that to be better, to be secure. I go, actually, I can learn to love in this moment because I have security in Christ. I'm not needing that to change, to be at rest with my Savior, under the yoke with him in that moment. The weight of our transformation is carried by him. So I'm no longer trying to behave better, do more so that I will transform. My job is to match the pace of Jesus. And he says, I will transform you. So get this. Do you realize too that sometimes what we think is best for us is not actually what's best for us, right? So Jesus, as we're yoked to him, there was a recent thing in my life where I realized I was creating some resentments towards somebody in my life. And I could feel Jesus going, hey, what if you forgave them? And I'm like, pass. Like, I don't really want to. Like, and I actually prefer bitterness right now. I actually prefer resentment right now. And so what I was doing was I was chafing against the yoke. It was starting to like hurt my neck. And he's like, no. Actually, forgiveness is better. I've forgiven you and invited you to be a forgiver because that's the easy yoke. of life. Bitterness is actually a hard yoke. Do you realize that, Dave? And I'm like, yes, and I still am scared. And he's like, great, I'm gonna plow the weight for you. You trust me and you enter in and believe that I'm walking this with you. God's also working in my life on generosity. And he's like, hey, Dave, what if we grew in giving? And I'm like, pass. I actually like hoarding things and believing that like if I had more, it would make me more secure. And he's like, yeah, that's actually a really exhausting way to live. And I'm like, I know. And, you know, and so, you know, this yoke, like I was pulling against the yoke. And he's like, I'm inviting you that it's more blessed to be a giver than to be a taker. And I'm like, oh, I believe you, Lord. Okay, yes. I don't want to get in front of you. I don't want to get behind you. I want to stay with you. But you see that his patience in that as we're yoking to him in that way. And so, and then lastly, he's inviting us to purpose. So our purpose in the future, if we're trying to earn everything, it's exhausting. Never enough, never enough. Am I okay? Do I have purpose? Like I got to do more, have more, get more. But Jesus is saying, no. I've actually given you purpose that you don't have to earn. Now you just get to be invited into good works that I've laid out for you ahead of time that you might learn to love me and then love others. And you know what? In that, he's going to invite you to some scary things, but never to earn your righteousness, never to earn your salvation, but to live love. Because he's like, it's the easy yoke to live love. Like it's good to live love in these new instances. And so he's gonna be inviting us into that from fear, because all that's fear-based. The heavy yoke is fear. The easy yoke is love. And then the outcome he says at the end of that verse is that I'm gonna give you rest. This easy yoke, this light way of living. It doesn't mean your circumstances are easy and light. He says your way of walking with me through them will be easy and light from the inside out, that he will be your rest. The Old Testament talked about the Sabbath being this, like we work and we rest. Jesus sets himself up in the New Testament as I am the Sabbath, I am rest. And I'm inviting you to come to me that you might find soul rest to live from all the time on a daily basis. St. Augustine says this, he says, you have made yourself for us, talking about God, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it finds rest in you. Isn't that so true? Our hearts are restless until we find rest in him. So the last thing, by whom is this invitation given? Verse 29 and 30. And then as we look at those, A.W. Tozer says this, what comes into our mind when we think about God is the most important thing about us. What comes into your mind when you think about God is the most important thing about us. Verse 29 says this, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is the only time in the New Testament where Jesus describes his heart. He describes himself as the good shepherd. I mean, there's a lot of metaphors about him. This is the only time he says at the core of who I am. In ancient days, the heart was the operating system that everything comes from. And he says, here's who I am at my heart. I am gentle and lowly in heart. So what does that mean? Gentle and lowly in heart. What that means is, in that context, that gentleness was the idea of amazing strength, but focused. So it's like a stallion who'd been trained to like operate well in that moment. So think about Jesus, creator of the universe, all authority on heaven and earth, and yet he chooses to channel it into tenderness towards you. Isn't that powerful, right? The most powerful being in all of the universe, and he's tender towards us. So awesome. And then he says he's lowly and humble. What does that mean? Well, in the ancient world, humility was not something, seen something to be good. It was actually a character flaw, right? Leaders were meant to be aloof, untouchable, away from the people. That's not our God. Jesus actually was the opposite. He said, I'm lowly in heart, meaning he incarnated amongst us, Emmanuel, God with us. He was the one who went and touched the lepers. He went towards the unclean. He said, I'm near the brokenhearted. I save those who are crushed in spirit. So what does that mean for us? That when we feel like we're pulling against the yoke, if God is not gentle and lowly in heart, then we think, oh, well, he's gonna be like arms crossed, waiting for, yep, there you did it. Come on back, get under my yoke again. I got a lecture for you. You know, like that's, if you view God to be that way, will you take his yoke? He says, no, I'm actually the God who's lowly and humble. I'm patient and I love you. I'm not arms crossed. I'm not thinking you should just be a little bit better. I'm a God who touches the untouchables, makes the unclean clean, even in us still. Amen. Is that good news? That is good news, right? Because I'm not getting under the yoke. I mean, I used to, like when I was earlier in my walk with Jesus, I really thought that God's stance towards me was, Dave, you should just be a little bit better. Just a little bit better. And then anytime I'd feel like myself chafing against the yoke again, it wasn't the invitational of apprentice to me. I felt like it was this like crossed arms, finger drawn, angry God upstairs going, you should just be better. Versus what God is saying right here about himself. Jesus is saying this about himself. So the invitation to take his yoke, that God loves you. We say in Regen all the time, like 50,000 times, God loves you. And people are like, I know. I'm like, no, you don't know that. You don't. I don't know that half the time. God loves you, right? So what if you just walked away from today going, God actually loves you. like he is for you in these ways, okay? Now the last part, invitations must be accepted and to participate in. You have a choice today. I have a choice today to continue to live in this way, but you can also reject it, right? So for some of you, this may be your point in time where you're like, I've been carrying the backpack of my righteousness. I cannot earn favor with God. I cannot erase my sins. I cannot secure my eternity. Jesus, take my backpack. Some of you may be invited to that for the first time today. Amen. Receive the gospel. It is good news. Some of us, though, there's a different invitation for us today. Recognize the daily invitation towards this, where you're like, I'm chafing against the yoke. I'm trying to get out in front of God. I'm noticing fear and anxiety in my life again. I'm noticing that I'm trying to pick something out here on the outside to make my soul restful on the inside. And just acknowledge it to God. Here I am again, God, I need you. Right? To confess it, to receive again the loving yoke of Christ rather than taking on your own yoke again. You realize that some of us feel kind of yokey at times, right? And so if you find yourself feeling yokey again, pulling against the yoke, this gentle and lowly Savior is inviting you back into that. And so my question is, where do you feel yokey in your life right now? Where do you feel that? And then surrender to the Lord. That's repentance, confession, faith, repentance, and we walk with God and we abide with him. And we're learning to walk and listen, take my place as the junior oxen again and walk with God through whatever I'm going through in life. And then lastly, you were never meant to do walk with God alone. And so we say it all the time here. We do life in community. Here's why. I need people to help me recognize when I've taken on another yoke other than Christ's yoke. I need people to walk with me and pray with me as I'm like, hey, I like bitterness. Will you pray for me? I think Jesus is inviting me into this way with him, but I actually like this other way better. And I need you. And so if you find yourself in isolation, it's hard to yoke to Christ in isolation. So I might invite you into who are the people that you're gonna take the yoke with? Not the old yoke of the Pharisees, the outside in, but of the yoke of Christ, the easy yoke in that. You see, Jesus Matthew starts the recording about Jesus's life. Here's the first thing he says about Jesus. He says that he was named Emmanuel, God with us. Right here in the middle of Matthew. And Jesus is describing himself and saying, hey, take my yoke and do life with me. And then Matthew ends with a great commission. Go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey all I've commanded you, for I'll be, what, with you until the end of the age. You have a God who's is invited us to do life with him under his yoke, not some other heavy burden, to earn favor, look good, be in control, all the things we're prone to as humans. Would we take the yoke of Christ? Even again today, even those of you who maybe have walked with Christ forever, would you receive the invitation anew? Pray with me. Jesus, we need you. Not like a one time only, but we wanna take your yoke today. You say that your yoke is easy and your burden is light, no matter what our circumstance. Our circumstance doesn't make us whole and right. Teach us to take your yoke in whatever our circumstance is today, that we would be walked with you, our master oxen, teaching us to work in and live in the unforced rhythms of grace. Amen.
Thanks again for joining the Well Community Church podcast. Be sure to check out thewellcommunity.org or our app, The Well Fresno, for more information on us, ways to connect, service times, and locations.